Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And today I'm going to be preaching the second part of a message that I began last week entitled Walking After the Spirit. And of course, we're talking about the Holy Spirit there, walking after the Spirit. This is the second message. If you didn't hear last week's, I urge you to go to our website and listen to it or order it and listen to the message. I'm doing this from in the Bible, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Two passages of scripture, one in Galatians chapter 5, Paul's epistle to the churches of Galatia, and then we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8 concerning walking after the Spirit. And let me reread the passages in Galatians 5 for you. Galatians 5 beginning at verse 16, where the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, walking in the Spirit and walking after the Spirit are the same thing. "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary." They are enemies, the flesh and the Spirit, contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot fulfill your desires. Verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit," to walk in the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit, is the same as to be led by the Spirit. "You're not under the law," which means you're not condemned for your sins. Now, this whole issue, the Spirit here is speaking of the Holy Spirit. I dealt with that last week. The flesh here is speaking of sin that indwells us as human beings. As fleshly human beings, sinful desires, sinful goals, sinful motives, sinful thoughts, sinful imaginations, everything that sin is, lust, covetousness, we could go on and on. Even religious sins, for example. When the Bible speaks of the works of the flesh, for example, it's not only speaking of the immorality that exists in humankind, it's speaking of the religious efforts of people trying to save themselves by their works. That's fleshly works. Did you know that? Understand that. If you don't understand that, you will not understand the Bible at all. I mean, you can look at humankind in society, the history of man, and look at our present day situation, and you see people out there who are committing all kinds of sins. Immoral perversions, it's so rampant, and it's always been rampant, but now we've got television that puts it right in our living rooms, and we can see it in Technicolor. And then ourselves, we've engaged in practices and in sinful practices, but also when we see religion, human works-based free will religion is also the flesh. The Bible says that salvation is by God's grace. It's undeserved, it's unearned, and it's based upon the righteousness, the merits, the works, the obedience unto death of another, one named Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That's how salvation comes about. It's mercy. It's not earned. It's not deserved. We cannot work for it and gain it. And man's efforts to keep the law, to gain salvation, to make himself righteous or herself righteous, to earn his or her way into God's favor, is sinful. Not because it's immoral in the eyes of men, not because they're insincere in doing it, but because it denies the glory of God. Where is the glory of God? The Bible says the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. God is glorified in the salvation of sinners based upon the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And they're sinful because they deny the person and work of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God manifest in the flesh. Sinless flesh. Now, my flesh is sinful, but his is not. And why did he become flesh? Why was the Word made flesh to dwell among us? Why is God manifest in the flesh in the person of Christ? In order for him to keep the law perfectly and die for the sins of his people to establish the only righteousness based upon which God can forgive and justify sinners. Now, if I seek salvation by my works, I'm denying Christ. Galatians 2:21 says that if righteousness comes by the law, Christ died in vain. So you see, man's efforts to work his way into righteousness, that's the flesh. It's a denial of Christ and his work. It's an act of unbelief. God says you cannot, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's what God says. Now if you seek salvation by your works, you're denying what God says. You're believing what you want to believe, and that comes under the category of heresy. You see, these people who are preaching salvation conditioned on sinners, they're denying God's word. They're denying God. That's the flesh. And so you see all of it. It elevates the pride of man. It gives him something to boast in. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, boast, except save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see that? Now that's the flesh. Now, every true believer who's been born again by the Spirit, who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is engaged in an inner warfare of the Holy Spirit who indwells us in opposition to the flesh. And the Spirit has given us spiritual life by which we fight the flesh in the power of the Spirit. Now, over in Romans chapter 8, this is where I concluded last week. Look at verse 1, Romans 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." If I'm in Christ, I'm not condemned. If I'm in Christ, my sins are forgiven. Washed away, the Scripture says. How? Because I'm such a good person or trying to be? No. It's because of the blood of Christ. And I'll quote this hymn all the time. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Now, if you really believe that, you're not going to look to yourself for the forgiveness. You're going to look to Christ. That's what walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, walking after the Spirit is. Looking to Christ for His blood as that which has washed away my sins, brought about forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You say, well, that verse says you've got to confess Him. You do have to confess Him, and you will confess Him if the Spirit has empowered you to do so. That's what the Spirit does. Our confession does not wash away our sins. His blood washes away. And if He's washed away my sins, the Spirit's going to come and bring about that confession. The gift of faith, the gift of repentance, the gift of perseverance. That's what He does. And so, I'm looking to Christ for salvation. I'm looking to Christ for righteousness. I quoted this last week, Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you have the gift of faith, if the Holy Spirit indwells you, and if you're walking after the Spirit, you're looking to and resting in Christ for righteousness, not yourself. You say, well, preacher, shouldn't I try to be righteous? Yes, but you're not going to find it in yourself. You're only going to find it in Christ. The best acts of the best believers still fall short because of the remaining power and influence and contamination of the flesh. That's what he meant over in Galatians 5. And he says, so that you cannot do that which you would. I want to be like Christ. I want to love perfectly. I want to obey perfectly. But I can't. Now, Paul spoke of that in Romans chapter 7. When he said in verse 15, this is Romans 7 verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not, or I know not, or approve not. For what I would, that do I not. And what I hate, that do I. I'm in a quandary here. I'm in a battle here. He comes down here and he says, wretched man that I am. Now, this is a believer talking. You know, some people go to that Romans 7 passage. And they say, well, Paul has to be talking about himself there before he was saved. No, he's not. What he's describing there is a struggle, a warfare, a spiritual warfare that only believers go through. Now, unbelievers, they'll go through warfares of natural conscience based upon legalities and fear of punishment and promises of reward. But the spiritual warfare has to do with the Holy Spirit coming against the flesh, sinful flesh, and sinful flesh, sinful human nature coming against the Holy Spirit. And this is why he says, again, look at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned. I'm justified. I'm forgiven of all my sins by the blood of Christ. I'm righteous in God's sight based upon Christ's righteousness imputed. And he's the only one in which I find righteousness. And who can claim this? He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, to walk after the flesh is to walk in unbelief of God's gospel, God's grace, unbelief of Christ. You see, you can be, in the eyes of men, the most moral and sincere and religious of people. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in Him, you're walking after the flesh, not the Spirit. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Doesn't matter who you are. Christ spoke of the Pharisees. He said, you do indeed appear righteous unto men. And what he was talking about is their sincerity, their human morality. But they did not measure up to righteousness in the eyes of God, because righteousness is the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. And if you don't know Christ and you reject Christ, see, it doesn't matter how good you try to be, how sincere you try to be, you're walking after the flesh. You mark it down. That's all there is to it. Not after the Spirit. Because if you're walking after the Spirit, you're walking under the conviction of sin. You're walking in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of all your works and efforts, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now look at verse 2 of Romans 8. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now again, that's just another way of describing a believer's justification before God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law without Christ works death. Because the Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 3, let me just read this to you. You're probably familiar with it. But it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now listen to this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty, subject to condemnation before God. Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. He said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that's why over here in Romans 8:2, he talks about the law as the being free from the law of sin and death. The law works death because it condemns, it brings in guilty and condemns everyone who is not found washed in the blood of Christ and robed in his righteousness imputed. But if you're justified before God, the law of the Spirit of life gives life in Christ Jesus and from Christ. Romans 5:21 says, as the law brings, let me just read it to you so I won't misquote it. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By your efforts? No, by Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see that? Now look at Romans 8 and verse 3. He says, for what the law could not do. Now what is it the law cannot do? The law cannot pronounce a sinner justified based upon that sinner's works. It cannot do that. The law must bring that sinner in guilty. And if sin is imputed to that person, charged to that person, the law must condemn. The law cannot give life from the dead. The law cannot do that. Now, why is it the law cannot do those things? Is it because the law is weak or wrong or flawed? No. Look at it again, Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. We're the problem. That's what he's saying. The law can only condemn the best of sinners based upon their best works because they all fall short of righteousness. All have sinned and come short of the righteousness of God. Come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So without Christ, all the law can do is condemn us, pronounce us guilty, pronounce the sentence of death. Now, what's wrong? Us, we're the wrong. Because it was weak through the flesh, we cannot keep the perfection of the law. And somebody had told me one time years ago, they said, well, it's unfair for God to expect us to be perfect. No, it's not. First of all, God is holy and perfect, and he cannot require anything less. But it's not unfair or unjust for him to require perfection. It's his nature. But here's the point. God has provided the only way of perfection and righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're walking after the Spirit, you'll see that and know that and believe that and rest in that, and that'll be your life. That'll be your whole world as far as salvation and a right relationship with God is concerned. So let's go back to Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now remember last week I dealt with this, that Christ had a human body. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans chapter 1:10. But he wasn't sinful. His flesh, his human body, had no sin, no sin principle, no power of sin. But now it was in the likeness of sinful flesh. He looked like a human being. That's what he's saying here. He looked like a sinful human being, but he wasn't sinful. If you, when in his adulthood, 30, when he came upon John the Baptist, when he was about 29, 30 years old, he looked just like one of the crowd. He's not like these Renaissance painters. He didn't have some halo hovering around his head or anything like that. He just looked like a man. Just like any man. And there was no difference. Unless God revealed him to you. That's what John said. God revealed him to John. But it says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, or by a sacrifice for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In his human body, as God manifest in the flesh, he went to the cross and he was condemned as a sacrifice. But in his condemnation, he actually condemned sin. Now think about that. What does that mean? It means, as Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, he made an end of sin. He finished the transgression. He brought in everlasting righteousness. By his death, he was condemned based upon the sins of God's chosen people imputed, charged to him. He was made sin, the scripture says. And in his death for sin, he purged it away. And he made an end of it, and he condemned sin. He fought sin, and he won. That's what he's saying. He won the battle. Now, if you and I fight it, we're not going to win. Just like God told Cain back in Genesis chapter 4. If you don't do well, if you don't look to Christ, believe in Him and rest in Him for all salvation, forgiveness, and righteousness and life, you've got to deal with sin. It's like a crouching wild animal, like a hungry lion outside your door, and you have to deal with it, and you'll lose. The wages of sin is death. Now look at verse 4. He says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there's those terms again. How is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? Well, there's two schools of thought on this phrase, fulfilled in us. One is that this is speaking of when the Holy Spirit brings us within ourselves to look outside ourselves to Christ for all righteousness. That's when righteousness is fulfilled in us, when we see that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. His righteousness is fulfilled in us because within our hearts we believe that He is our righteousness, our only righteousness. The second school of thought is this, that it's speaking of Christ in us, that is, in humanity, in a human body, as our substitute, fulfilled all righteousness. Now there is some faulty heretical schools of thought on that, those who claim that the Holy Spirit makes them righteous within themselves. And that's not what it's teaching. What it's saying here, and I think the next phrase clears it up. Verse 4, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Christ is the end of the law. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Who walk not after the flesh, who walk not in darkness, in unbelief, in ignorance, in false religion, and in immorality, but after the Spirit. Guided by, motivated by, stirred up by the Spirit of God, who brings us to look outside of ourselves to Christ for all salvation, all forgiveness, all righteousness. So verse 5 of Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, who's after the flesh? He's talking about people there who are totally consumed by the fleshly sinful principles. They're not born again. They're not believers. And they mind. They set their minds on fleshly things. Now, it could be immorality, perverted things, or in most cases, it's religion, false religion, works-based religion, free will religion. All of that is minding the things of the flesh. My friend, what can wash away your sins? If you think it's anything but the blood of Jesus, you're minding the things of the flesh. And he says in verse 5, he says, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. And what are the things of the Spirit? What's the Spirit's work? The Spirit's work is to bring us to look to Christ and glorify Him and rest in Him and find our assurance in Him. Follow Him. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit's work is not, you know, I mean, there are works, there were miracle works that were done back in the early days of in the Old Testament and the early days of the church. But we have the Word of God now, and the Spirit brings us to the Word, to believe in and walk by and live by the Word. And he says in verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded. Now that's the same thing as minding the things of the flesh. That word carnal means the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death. Now again, let me emphasize, that can be a person in religion, trying to be moral, trying to be good, trying to keep the law. But without Christ, all it means is death. He that believeth not shall be damned, the Scripture says. And so the carnal mind is death, whether it's religious mind or not. And he says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's to mind the things of the Spirit. And that's life. Why is it life? Because Christ is our life. Christ gave me life from the dead in the new birth. And it's peace. Peace with God by the cross. He made peace by the blood of the cross. God's reconciled to His people. He's at peace with His people. and his people are brought to be reconciled to him because of the righteousness of God, because of Christ, his righteousness imputed. And then he says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you realize that? You know that word enmity? It's actually, you could say enemy. But it means hatred. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, even that which stirs people up in false religion, works-based religion, free will religion, efforts to get right with God by their works, that's actually a hatred of God. Now, they claim to love God, but they don't love the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible rejects any sinner who comes to him except in Christ, based upon his blood and righteousness. Think about Cain. Cain brought the best works of his hands to the Lord, and the Lord did not accept it. Cain thought he loved God, but he really hated the God of the Bible, and he showed that through his hatred of his brother who was accepted because of the blood, and he killed Abel. If he could have got his hands on God and killed him, he would have, but he couldn't. But that's what it is, you see. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And then it goes on to say that those who are in darkness, they hate the light because it exposes their deeds as being evil, their best deeds, their religious deeds, their morality as being evil. And so they hate the God of the Bible because he will not accept what they have to offer, what they think so highly of. And so he says in verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, what is it to be subject, submitted to the law of God? Well, again, Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's what it is to walk after the Spirit. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.